Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Today's scripture is from John 6, verse 33, and I'll be reading from the New King James Bible. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Good afternoon, everyone. Keep your Bibles open to John chapter 6. I welcome you to this communion Sabbath. It's so good to see all of you here. The title of our message is The Bread of Life. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus. Lord, that you would empty yourself, you would come to this earth, be born of a virgin, you would live a perfect, holy, righteous life, you would lay down that life for us. And Lord, our desire is to draw near to you today and to hear from you. And Lord, our desire is to know your sacrifice more, that we might commune with you. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would guide us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine for a moment, in your mind's eye, that you are standing on the hill. The Bible calls it the mountain. But it's at the base of the mountain. It's more of a rolling hill. You can see the green grass. You can see the people gathered together in groups of 50s or hundreds. And Jesus is there, feeding the 5,000. You can imagine it, can't you, in your mind's eye. You can see him there taking those 5 barley loaves, just that flat bread, a pita bread type of bread. He takes those 5 pieces, he breaks them. He takes the 2 fish, he's breaking them into pieces, he's giving them to his disciples, and they are distributing it among the people. 5,000 men plus women and children. And you can imagine the surprise on the face of the disciples as they are handing out this food, and it's never depleting as one takes a piece here and several pieces there, but it's never empty. It just keeps on going. You can imagine what must be going on in their mind. You can imagine as the multitude is seeing this never-ending supply of bread and fish is being distributed. They're seeing this miracle unfold right before their eyes. And you can imagine what's going on in their heart and in their mind. Here in John chapter 6, verse 14, it says that the people said to themselves, "This is truly the prophet who was to come into the world." They saw the miracle. They knew that this was something special that was happening. They knew this must be the Messiah. This is the one. You can imagine what's going on inside of their minds as they're realizing this is the one we've waited for. And you can imagine that Jesus knows what's going on inside their minds as well. He knows that they are going to want to make him the king. He knows that they'll do it by force if they have to. And so as soon as they are done eating, he tells them, gather up the leftovers. They go around with the 12 baskets, and the leftovers are equal to 12 full baskets. They started with a boy's small lunch. And so as soon as they're done, Jesus tells his disciples, get into the boat and go across the lake. Now, all four of the Gospels talk about this story. And if you put it all together, you'll see that they were near Bethsaida when this miracle happened, and he told them to go across the lake, and Mark tells us to the land of Gennesaret. Now, if you look at a map, that's a distance of about 5 to 6 miles to get across that lake. But we see that the disciples get in the boat and they're rowing across the lake. And here in John, it tells us that they rowed about 3 or 4 miles. The seas were getting rough. It was dark. But you can imagine in your mind's eye that it's a moonlit night and it's reflecting off of the water, and they look behind them and there comes Jesus walking on the water. And they're afraid. But Jesus encourages them. He says, don't be afraid. And when Jesus speaks, it happens. They let Jesus get in the boat. And notice here in John 6:21, it says, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Mark tells us they were going to the land of Gennesaret, which is just a little bit south of Capernaum. And by now it's daylight. They get out of the boat, and the people that are there recognize them. They recognize that Jesus is with them, and the people go running. They go running into the surrounding area, getting all of the sick and the lame, and they're bringing them to Jesus. At the same time that that's going on, we see a picture of those who were back on the other side of the lake where they had come from, there in Bethsaida, and the people that were there with Jesus, they saw the disciples get in the boat. They saw Jesus go up into the mountain. And so they must have been thinking they're going to come back and get him. And so the people are watching and they're waiting, and they go all through the night and they don't see anything. And in the morning they look and there's no boat. And so the Bible tells us that the people get in the boat. They come across the lake over to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And they find him. And they ask him some questions. And I'd like you to notice what Jesus says here in John 6, verse 26. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. Jesus is essentially saying to them, look, I know why you're here. I know why you're looking for me. And you're not looking for me because you saw the signs. They saw it. They knew that this was the prophet that was spoken of. He was the one to come. They knew this was the Messiah. But it's interesting what they said to him and what Jesus said back to them. Notice that when he says this, they say to him, Moses fed our fathers in the wilderness the manna. What sign are you going to show us? Isn't that interesting? They had just seen the sign. Jesus had fed the 5,000, and now they're asking, what sign are you going to show us? Now, before we get too hard on them, we need to realize that at the time of Jesus' ministry here, the people are expecting that when the Messiah comes, he's going to rain down manna from heaven. They see this sign where he feeds the 5,000, but it wasn't the sign they were looking for. They were looking for the manna from heaven. And notice what Jesus says, verse 32. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven." I want to pause right there for a moment, and I want to point out to you, notice that Jesus here is setting the record straight. The people said, "Moses gave our fathers the manna." And Jesus says, It wasn't Moses that gave you the bread. Moses was the instrument that God used, but it was my heavenly Father who gave the manna. He goes on and says, "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." And what do they say? They say, "Give us this bread." And notice what Jesus says in verse 35. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus says, "You want me to give you the bread? I'm the bread." And you can imagine what happened. The people began to murmur, because he says, "I'm the bread which came down from heaven." You can imagine them saying in their minds, "What are you talking about? We know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth. You're the son of Joseph, a carpenter. How can you be the bread from heaven?" You know, as a pastor, I often wonder if you realize that the message that the Lord puts on my heart to give to you are not my words. Nobody wants to hear what Rod Thompson has to say. You want to hear from heaven. And I promise you that the message that the Lord puts on my heart is from Him. But I've seen many times when I preach a sermon and I can tell you don't like it. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your face, your body language. You know, when we hear things like God is love, boy, we like that, don't we? But then we hear the other part of God, that God is also a God of justice. God is also a God of wrath. Sometimes we don't like to hear that, right? But when you have love and love is not received, the only thing left is wrath. But we don't like that part. And we don't like that part when we're told that we are not to adorn ourselves with an outward look that's attracting the world, that says, "Look at me," but rather we are to have an inward adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. We don't like that so much. And the natural tendency as a pastor When I see that look in your face and I know you don't like the message, the tendency is that the next message is just one of those feel-good kind of messages, right? That's the natural tendency for me, for a pastor, rather than keep going, rather than give the next difficult message. This is give you something to make you feel good. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't stop because he knows they still don't get it. He's got to keep on going. And so notice what he says to them in verse 43. He says, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Jesus doesn't recoil. Jesus doesn't have that tendency to just go, "Okay, I've gone as far as I can go." He keeps on going. And what do? They murmur and complain all the more. "What do you mean he's going to give us his flesh to eat?" But Jesus doesn't stop. He keeps on going. Look with me, verse 53. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus is essentially saying to them, "I am the author of life. I am the one who nourishes your soul. I am the one who is the supporter of the eternal, the sustainer of your spiritual life." He represents himself under the likeness of heavenly bread. Therefore, when he says that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, what he is saying is that we need to receive him as a heaven-sent teacher. Belief in him is essential for our spiritual life. And those who feast on him are feasting on the Word. Remember, John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "And the Word became flesh." So when Jesus says, "You must eat my flesh," he's saying, "Eat my words." Have you ever taken a book and began to read it? And the book is so amazing, so interesting, so incredible. You can't put it down. You don't put the book down until you have finished the entire book. And you might say, wow, I really ate that book. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, eat my words. Jesus exclaimed the meaning of his words so clearly that no one should stumble. His statement regarding eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man is not to be taken in a literal sense. It must be taken in a spiritual sense. We eat Christ's flesh and we drink His blood when by faith we take hold of Him as Savior. I'd like you to notice something that it says in the book, Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, volume 5, page 1135. Jesus used the figure of eating and drinking to represent that nearness to Him which all must have who are at last partakers with Him in His glory. The temporal food we eat is assimilated, giving strength and solidity to the body. In a similar manner, as we believe and receive the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become a part of our spiritual life. They bring light and peace, hope and joy, and strengthen the soul as physical food strengthens the body. It's not enough for us to know and respect the words of the Scriptures. We must enter into the understanding of them, studying them earnestly. Christians will reveal the degree to which they do this by the healthiness of their spiritual character. I'm going to pause there for a moment and just interject this thought that when we eat the Lord Jesus Christ, when we eat His words, we are taking His message into ourselves and He is changing us. He is giving us His character. It goes on to say we must know the practical application of the Word to our own individual character building. We are to be holy temples in which God can live and walk and work. Never must we strive to lift ourselves above the servants whom God has chosen to do His work and to honor His holy name. All ye are brethren. Let us apply this word to our individual selves, comparing Scripture with Scripture. In our daily lives, before our brethren and before the world, we are to be living interpreters of the Scriptures, doing honor to Christ by revealing His meekness and lowliness of heart. In other words, as we eat and as we ingest the bread of life and the juice of salvation, we grow up in Christ. By our unity, esteeming others better than ourselves, we bear witness to the world a living testimony of the power of truth. Our characters are composed by what we eat. I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus said, eat my flesh. In other words, He's saying, eat my words. So what we eat is going to determine our character. What you eat when you watch. What you eat when you listen. What you eat when you read. What we put into our mind comes out in our life. And so He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And so the emblems that we partake of today are a reminder of a living, real reality. We are acting out a play, so to speak, when we partake of the communion and we eat the bread and we drink the juice. We are literally saying, Lord, I need you to come into me and change me. Change my character. Help me to be more like you. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And as I look around here today, my heart is broken to think that there may be somebody that's not here today because they know it's communion Sabbath. It breaks my heart to think that there may be someone here today who might be thinking that they can't partake of communion because they're not worthy. I got news for you, brothers and sisters. You're not. None of us are worthy. But now, I want to take you back here to John chapter 6. Look with me again at verse 53. Notice what Jesus said. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. He's the source of life. We have to take Him in. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. I know you've done it, but we want to do it again. Every morning, we want to surrender ourselves afresh. And as we partake of this communion and we act out this play, we're showing ourselves, we're showing each other, I want Christ in me. We partake of this solemn service in washing each other's feet because it's an opportunity like no other to get our hearts right and ready to eat His flesh and drink His blood. We must do it in a spirit of humility. We want to make sure that our heart is in the right place when we're asking Him to come in. And praise God that, you know, Jesus accepts you just as you are. Thank God we don't have to go and get ourselves fixed up and cleaned up in order to come to Him. But He takes you just as you are. But He loves you so much, He's not willing to leave you in your condition. He's going to clean you up from the inside out. And that's why we must eat Him. We must ask Him to come in so that He can change us. Do a work in you that you cannot do in yourself. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, loving Father, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful for the plan of salvation. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus. We want to take Him at His word. We want to spiritually eat Him. We want to bring Him into our hearts, into our lives. Lord, we pray You'd come in. We surrender ourselves afresh to You today and say, Lord, mold us and fashion us into Your image. And we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.